Please be seated. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I need two volunteers. Two volunteers to walk up here to the altar. Two people stand up, or I'm just going to tell two people to stand up. All right, we got Bill and Cleva coming up here. All right. Are you familiar with the game Blackjack?
Yeah.
All right. Cleva, are you? It's a card game.
Okay.
21.
21.
Okay.
All right.
I think that's what I know.
So what I want to do is I want to play some blackjack with you.
Okay.
We're not going to bet anything real. So there's no real reason to worry. There you go. Don't worry. Be happy. All right. So I'm going to deal out one card face down and one card face up.
Okay.
And you can look at the card that's face down, but don't show me.
Okay.
And tell me if you want another card. You have to get as close to 21 without going over. Face cards are 10, and ace is a 1 or an 11.
I'll take another card.
You want another card. Okay, she has a 4 showing and now a 10. Are you above 21?
No.
Okay, so you're fine. Bill, you're fine? You want to stand? He has a queen showing, everybody. He's good. The dealer's going to take a hit. Cleva, do you want to... I have a 6 and a 3 showing. Cleva, do you want another card? Or are you going
to
stand?
You need to get 21.
You need to get to 21. Or close to 21 without beating and beat me.
I think I'll.
You're going to stay? All right. I'm going to take another card, which now puts me at too many points. I have bust. Bill, did you win?
Yeah,
are you good?
21.
You had 21 exactly. All right. So
I had 18.
All right. So why we're playing a little blackjack? You guys can go sit down. The dealer is really bad at this. That's why I don't do this for a living. Part of the fun about playing card games, whether it's blackjack or any other card game, is uncertainty, right? It's illegal to count cards, at least in Vegas. But the beauty of playing cards is that uncertainty. We don't know what's going to come up next. We don't know whether the card we want or a different card is going to come up. I mean, we can play the odds, right? Especially if we're really good and we understand how many cards are in a deck and we can read people's faces. Some of you, I bet, are really good at poker. I'm not. And that excitement that we have playing these games is related to another feeling we have that all stems from uncertainty. It stems from a loss of control. And it's fear which leads us to worry, right? Uncertainty. We don't know what is going to come up next. We have no idea what the next card is going to be. We think we might know, but we can't control it. It's uncertain. And so there's a little bit of fear associated with that excitement. That's why people keep gambling. They think they can manage the risk. They think that uncertainty is something they can figure out and control. But you and I have all been alive long enough to realize that there are some things in this world we just can't control. They are going to be uncertain. And that's what worries us. That's what worries us when we have a grown child and they don't call, right? That's what worries us when the doctor leaves the room and doesn't come back for a very long time. That's what worries us when we go out to start the car and it doesn't turn over like it's supposed to. Uh-huh. That's what worries us when we go out. When we go into a church and we don't know who else is going to walk in that door. The world we live in is an uncertain place. And sometimes that uncertainty is exciting. We don't know what's going to happen, and it's wonderful. And most of the, maybe not most of the time, some of the time, we don't know what's going to happen, and that's exactly what terrifies us. And that's why we worry. Each and every one of us has worries. Each and every one of us have things that we care about. We have things that we want to control, but we can't. And it's that uncertainty that plagues us wherever we go. Because no matter what happens, we are going to try to control it, even though we can't. And so we read these words from Luke's Gospel. We hear this wonderful song. Thank you, choir, for humoring me. I asked them to sing that. And they say, don't worry. Exactly. We laugh. Right, Jesus. Don't worry. The birds of the field, they don't reap nor sow, and yet God feeds them and cares for them. Yeah, that's good for the birds. Right? Be like the grass of the field. It just stays where it's at. It grows and it's all good, man. No, it's not. I'm not grass. I can't walk around with what God clothed me in. I need to take grass, make clothes, and put them on. Right? Don't worry. I think it's normal to worry and be in our world. It's okay to worry. If you're not worried about something in this world, I would be worried about you. Because all you have to do is wake up, turn on the TV, and there's any number of things to be worried about, right?
You don't even have to turn on
TV. Don't even have to turn on the TV. Am I going to make it out of bed today? Am I going to have enough strength to put all my clothes on? Am I going to fall and be able to get enough help to get back up again? Am I going to go out to the car and is it going to start? When I go to the grocery store and buy the groceries that I think I want and need, and I run that card, is it going to have enough money? When the bills come in, am I going to have enough money to pay them? These may not be worries you have, but they are worries of so many people. It's been said that 75% of people in America live paycheck to paycheck. And only 50% of them are worried about that. What that means is there are 25% of the people in the world who don't understand Murphy's Law. We have so much to be worried about. Around a year ago, someone came and asked me if we could lock all the doors once service begins. Because they had a very real worry that someone was going to walk in with a weapon and cause harm. Students today go to school worried about whether or not they're going to be able to do their schoolwork and go home at the end of the day. People wake up in the world wondering if they're going to get bombed. I'm just going to stop because that's just some of the things we can worry about. And maybe we should a little bit. Worrying is normal. Because we look at the world and it's an uncertain world with a lot of things to be afraid of. In fact, 18% of our adult population in America is worried about all sorts of things. Statistically, a few of you in here this morning are of that 18% that have clinical anxiety and may or may not get medicated for that. Most likely not, according to the statistics. You are not the people I think Jesus was talking to about not worrying. The rest of us, that other 78%, 72%, are the ones that I think Jesus is talking to. The ones who do not have clinical anxiety, who Jesus is saying, don't worry. And I think Bobby McFerrin was also talking to the rest of us, saying, don't worry. Be happy. Life is good. So much better than you can imagine. And I think Jesus is saying that as well. And yet, we still worry. It's a problem we have, isn't it? It's a problem we have because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. I brought one of my favorite board games. This is Star Wars Risk, but it's still Risk. And in this game, you acquire soldiers and you roll dice to see how well those soldiers do in your little war with the other people you're playing the game with. And the goal is to conquer the world, or in this case, the galaxy. And I've seen people play this game for hours and hours and days. Maybe you had someone who had set a game of Risk up and it would just stay on the living room table or the dining room table for days while people waited to finish it because they were afraid to risk what would happen. They were afraid of the uncertainty of those roll of the dice. They worried about their little imaginary soldiers doing the job that they had for them. Worry comes in so many shapes and in so many sizes, and it comes to all of us. And yet sometimes we have to roll the dice and risk to see what God will do. Isaiah the prophet. Did that scripture reading come as a surprise to some of you? It probably did. You probably don't remember reading that in Isaiah. What's going on at that time period in Israel's history is Israel is broken down into two nations. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Israel has 10 tribes, Judah has 2. The nation of Assyria, who lives somewhere over here, has decided they are going to conquer Israel, the northern tribes. And they have marched down, they've destroyed every city they've come across. They have surrounded the capital and they have destroyed the capital of Samaria, which is the capital of Northern Kingdom. All right? Are we all together here? Then they decided, Judah got scared and decided to make friends with Egypt over here. Send all your horses and all your chariots to protect us, and if you do, we'll be your friends. That's pretty much the deal. Assyria hears about this and goes down and starts destroying all the cities in Judah too. And they surround the capital of Jerusalem. And the king at the time goes to the prophet Isaiah and he says, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Is God going to do anything for us? He's worried. And he's worried justifiably. Because there is a nation who has destroyed everything they've come across. And they sent these emissaries with a message that said, your God won't save you. The other gods of all these other countries haven't saved them. In fact, we just finished destroying your cousins up north. And your God didn't protect them. And Hezekiah tears his clothes and he cries and he runs into the temple. And he pours his heart out to God. Why? He's worried. He's scared. The world is uncertain and he doesn't know what to do about it. So he goes to God. And Isaiah gives him a message. And it wasn't necessarily this message that we read. It's a message similar to this. Why did you go to Egypt and look for help? You were so worried. Why didn't you come to me first? You know who I am. You know what I do to what I did to Egypt when I brought you up out of there. Come to me. Look at what I can do. In fact, I'm going to defeat this army that has surrounded you. Not by a human sword. I'm going to send my angel out there and the angel is going to kill everybody. And they're going to leave. And you will know that I am God. And if you read 2 Kings, that's what happened. Israel, the people of Jerusalem went to sleep one night and they woke up the next day and most of the Assyrian army was dead. And the Assyrian king Sennacherib was running north because God had won the mighty victory. this is the same God whom Jesus says will take care of you. The same God who says, I love you more than sparrows. This is why Jesus argues from lesser to greater. If God cares about sparrows who are sold for a penny in the market, how much more does God care for you? Why are you worried about your life? God will take care of you. We're not singing that song later, right? Good. God will take care of you so much more than these sparrows. Why are you chasing after these things that are not who you are? Why are you worried? And why do you worry about what clothes you're wearing? I mean, come on. Everybody has to wear them. Sew some fig leaves. It'll be okay. People who don't know God chase after these things. They chase after the best food and worry about whether or not there's going to be caviar in the refrigerator. I don't want caviar in the refrigerator, do you? Some of you may. I don't. Some people worry about whether or not they can wine and dine their friends. In fact, that's what leads a lot of football players into great debt, because the kicker who makes $500,000 a year is taking the quarterback who makes millions of dollars a year out to dinner and having to pay for a $10,000 bottle of wine. Because he wants to keep up the appearance. He's worried about what people care think about him. Worried about food and drink and clothing. Are you wearing the finest clothes? No, I shop at Goodwill. Don't worry about those things. People who don't know God are worried about that. You know God. You know how much God loves you. You know that God will take care of you no matter what. So don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about what you're wearing. Because God doesn't care about those things. He cares about you and your heart. He doesn't want you plagued by worry. This is why we say, don't worry, be happy. Because there are things we worry about that we really don't need to worry about. And we can be happy because the things we can't control can be laid at the feet of God, the Almighty, who is in ultimate control. God may not decide for you what clothes you'll wear, but God certainly has decided whether or not God loves you. God will take care of you in the end. And so as a people, how do we as Christians approach this don't worry, be happy mindset? If you want to pull out your hymnal, you can. You don't have to. Make sure I got the right number here. Turn to page 459 in the hymnal. I'm going to teach you a very short prayer. It's one you may have become familiar with through other places. 12-step groups hold on to this prayer like it is gold, because it is. And this is a prayer that you can use whenever you begin to worry about something. You may know it as the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Amen. We worry about things that we cannot control because they are uncertain. If you want to have less worry in your life, take some time to pray. God, help me to change the things that I can and to give to you the things that I can't. And give me wisdom so that I can know the difference between what I can control and what I can't. I can control whether or not I call my adult child. I cannot control whether or not they call me back. I can control whether or not I go to the doctor. I cannot control what the doctor has to say to me about what's going on with my body. I can control what I eat. I can control how I exercise. I can control a lot of things that I normally would worry about. But I can't control everything. Brothers and sisters, if you want to listen to Jesus and not worry, learn the difference between what you can and cannot control. Give to God those things you cannot control, especially when they raise up in your mind and you start to worry about them. And do the things that you can control so that you don't have to worry, you can minimize your worry. This is the lesson of our faith. We are human beings who will worry about things because we care and we live in an uncertain world. We serve a God who loves us unconditionally and wants to respond to what is on our hearts. When you are worried, give it to God and do what you can. And give the rest to the one who is immeasurably more powerful than you. In that you will find freedom. And in that you will learn to not worry. And you will be able to be happy. Amen.